You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
So you guys don't like tailgating? You don't like that, like any kind of like being outside
with, tailgating,
like a crowd? Yeah,
I go to the back of the truck.
Are you not familiar with the phrase tailgating?
No, I know it, but I'm just trying to make sure I'm on the, like, it's like, you know, I'm like going to, I go to the parking lot and I like have a hot dog in the parking lot, that kind of
yeah.
thing. No, like, of course I don't like that. You've met me. I know you know I don't want to do that. I know you know that I do not want to go tailgating. You know that, right?
The having a hot dog in the parking lot? You think I always like it?
Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings Wrestling Podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
And we get to start out by talking about my beautiful son / husband.
You know how like ants can carry like 15 times their body weight? Those are your worms right now. Your worms can
They're so
like
strong. They're so strong because they drink protein shakes every morning.
You saw Kyle O'Reilly's beautiful pale Irish body.
Gleaming pale, like Edward
fish
Cullen
belly pale.
Like he would like sparkle in the sunlight.
Yeah, Kyle, he definitely sparkle. That's what I was thinking.
And you like that. I love it.
I think it's like I don't love that he's pale, but like it is troubling. I agree that I say things like Kyle is so pale. But I said it's because no one wants to invite him to a spray tan party because of his horrible personality. But I said it so lovingly because I am obsessed with him. I am obsessed with Kyle O'Reilly. I was right to have an Omicron surge about Kyle O'Reilly, a perfect boy, horrible, bad rat boy. So Kyle had his Owen Hart tournament qualifier singles match against JB on Dynamite this week. He was in a really bad mood going into this because he and Bobby lost to Jurassic Express, and he said that won't happen again. And it did not happen again. He did beat JB in a match that I personally loved. Thoughts? Did you guys also love it? Are you guys also like, would you say obsessed with pale freak Kyle O'Reilly, the best boy at AEW, the only boy that matters, maybe? Red boy?
I liked it.
Okay, that I actually would love us to level that up. I'd love to hear.
I feel very affectionate towards Kylo. I would say I have worms, but then I hear you talk and I'm like, I don't. My brain is complete and whole. There's no worms in there, actually.
Yeah, right. You say I'm listening to the ramblings of a mad woman. I understand that. I'm not offended. I'm happy about that.
I liked how they were like basically the same height, but then their bodies were shaped and colored very differently.
Absolutely. Because JB is kind of like, it's like he is invited to probably tons of spray tan parties.
Probably
like he's
tons.
Turning just, down invitations.
Like, I'm sure he is.
And some of them. It's right. Because some of it he should turn down because they were like, he's like, they said it was a spray tan party, but it was just 2 invites. You know what I mean? JB's about to get sex trafficked.
Sex trafficked, exactly.
He is always in danger. It's true. No one is more in danger than Jungle Boy.
The number
and no
one
is less equipped to defend himself, really. Like, I know he does do good wrestling, but it's just like, oh, baby, you need
feel like
so
if he
much
got
help.
left alone for a little bit, he would inevitably just get sex trafficked, just yeah. wander into it.
Or like, I'm sorry, but JB's vibe is that it's like if he misplaced Anna Jay at the mall, like he would end up at like the piercing pagoda, like sitting on the counter, like waiting for her to come back like a lost child. Just like, my girlfriend's here somewhere, I know she's gonna come find me.
I just have to stay in one place.
Meanwhile, I feel like if Kylo ever got sex trafficked, the traffickers would bring him back.
Absolutely.
You know, like they'd be like, Bobby, I can't. You can have this back.
Go around the block and then just
drop him
right back off.
Bobby's not even
worried.
He's just like, this has happened before. I know they'll bring him back.
Like, he's not trapped with them. They're trapped with him for sure.
I think we're really good at describing wrestling, don't you think?
Well, yeah. You know what?
Number one wrestling podcast on iTunes.
This is the important stuff. Like, you can go watch the match, you'll love it. Of course, it'll be like the greatest match you've ever seen, but we are describing like how we feel when we watch it. We don't know any of the moves. No, we do not know the moves.
Could we recap it? No, of course not.
I don't remember
not.
A single thing that happened. I just loved it.
I just keep thinking about the spray tans, because you really can't tell who was at a spray tan party together. Like, the Butcher and the Blade clearly went way overboard together this week. So it's good that, like, Jungle Boy didn't go with them to a spray tan party, you know? But, yeah.
He was a very normal level of tan.
Yeah,
good for
just
him.
A regular color, you know?
And
no
if
notes.
if you get into the Butcher and the Blade hanging out, I would be so kind to you about it. I'm trying to be clear. If you've had like a lot of thoughts that you want to express,
I would feel fine if I did.
I don't want you to feel
have
stifled.
You been having secret thoughts secret that you don't feel thoughts. Like you can share with us?
Yeah,
because you
right.
can. We would all be so yeah. kind to you.
We'd be so kind.
So kind. Yeah, right. Absolutely. I feel surer of that than ever right now.
Nervous. Like, she has been thinking some things. So I guess we'll see if that comes up.
It doesn't feel outside of the realm of possibility that I would just go hard on the Butcher and the Blade for
no,
sure.
No, you easily could.
Yeah, that seems like my jam somehow. But yeah, hasn't happened yet. But you know, we're always right on the brink of a cliff, aren't we?
I think we're more relatable than ever now that, like, Lee is probably going the hardest for Jeff Hardy. I'm going so hard for Kyle O'Reilly. I think people listen and they think, like, yeah, this is the zeitgeist.
Remember how we described Kyle O'Reilly when he showed up, like how negative we were?
Yeah, but funny.
I think we called him like a half finished golem.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, it's like all of my descriptions would be the same now. Where I'm like, he still is
Don't
a
disagree.
Half finished golem. He still is a man holding a fish on Tinder. Like, it's all the same.
My beautiful half finished golem.
My horrible, disgusting son.
I hope he's holding as many fish as he wants on Tinder.
Well, you know what? I would slap the fish out of his hand and be like, Kyle, stop doing that. But he wouldn't. And that is the beauty of Kyle.
Yeah.
Is that he'll
would.
Never
he just
stop.
Pick it right back up.
Yeah. He'll never stop. He's horrible.
And he's got Bobby Fish. So he's really is.
Oh, my God. That's his fish. He's holding Bobby Fish in the Tinder photo.
In the Tinder photo. Bobby Fish, real name Robert Fish.
Wow. That's. Love, actually.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, this has been a really good conversation.
Yeah.
I will just, the one thing that I'll flag about, oh, I guess two things. So one, Kyle will continue in the Owen Hart tournament. I love that the promo poster for this, for the Owen Hart tournament, like, matches, they just are in hearts together. Like, and yeah. I didn't, like, put that together right away because I just wasn't thinking about it being an Owen Hart like match, and so I was just like, oh, it's like a Valentine's Day match. Like, oh, because they love each
it
other.
It does kind of
like,
feel like
it right.
could be Valentine's Day right now. Have the men had any other Owen Hart matches?
I don't know. Is that the first like, one? You know, I don't know.
You would love if we knew the answer.
Yeah, I mean, I would love if any of us knew.
We don't.
I just
know.
I didn't know the men were also doing an Owen Hart one.
Yeah,
I
knew
it was
that
a women's specific tournament. Actually,
I knew that they were, but. I don't think it can be the first. I don't think so.
Are you sure? No, you're not. No, none of us are sure about anything.
Of course not.
We don't know. We have to move on from that. We have to get to the point that's just at the end. So JB lost. Perfect match. Great match. So fun to watch. Go watch it. Check it out. But he felt so bad afterwards, and I thought he was just apologizing to the camera, but then I realized that Christian was coming down the ramp and JB was just mouthing like, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry.
I think Christian was coming with a real like aggro, disappointed energy, because I really thought he was going to be mean to him. I thought he was really mad. And I don't know why I thought that, but obviously, like, you thought it too, and JB was apologizing. So I do think it had an energy.
Well,
to
it's because he had a rage burst on screen last week. So that it's too. Like, we are putting pretty normal clues together where we're like, he is like becoming over emotional and potentially abusive. Like,
yeah, we're close watchers of the text, actually. So,
as we literally can't remember who's in the Owen Hart thing,
we just use our classic humanities major skills to
we
put together things we see on screen into a narrative.
Yeah.
But sometimes wrestling is not providing a narrative.
No, yeah. Sometimes it's not. That's true. Yeah, but it was shocking because Christian just like gave him a little encouraging hug and was nice to him. And I was like, this would have been so much more compelling, actually, if Christian was like, you little idiot.
Yeah, or if the vibe was even a little more like he looked like kind of fed up, but then was like, no, Christian, be a good mentor.
Right.
It's
that's
okay.
True. That would
but
have been good.
It's hard to tell because Christian has never come off as like a great actor. So it's a little hard to tell like whether what he was. Whether he was meaning to show us something or I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, I do think he should become like a really bad, scary figure in Jungle Boy's life. And that would be a growth opportunity for Jungle Boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Give Jungle Boy the opportunity to do a little bit of some face acting, do some little tryouts. Yeah.
Now that he can say like a full sentence, like let's push the limits.
Next level. Let's take it up a notch.
Where can we get?
So this was the second one. The first one was Max Caster versus Samoa Joe.
Oh, that was in the tournament?
Yeah.
Okay. And they had a heart around them? Like they were in love too?
Yeah. Huh.
Wow. And I missed that. That is on me.
Wow.
That is my bad.
You just learn something new or 10 to 12 things every podcast. Yeah.
Most of what we discuss in this podcast, it turns out, is new to me. Despite having watched countless hours of wrestling this week. Not as many as I could have. Let's move on to talking about... So the Adams had their big Texas death match on Rampage. This was so much crazier and sexier than I thought it would be.
I didn't really expect much of it because it was on Rampage, but then it was like, oh my God, this went so hard.
I feel like the Adams heard us bitching that like it wasn't as sexy of a feud as we hoped it would be. And they were like, okay, if you want us to do actual live sex on screen, fine.
Yeah. No, I definitely, that was absolutely the impression that I got. They were doing that match at us for sure. It is like pretty crazy. I think, Leah, you made this point. I'm sure we all agreed just that like there has been such a difference between like the promos and the matches in this feud where like the promos we consistently are like, yeah, they did a good job of promoing, but there was no content there that like really like lit me up inside. The matches have all been good. This one was better than good. I mean, I would say it was better than that Kyle JB match. Yes, it was. Wow. Yes, it was a much better match.
Hangman came out with like such an aggro energy, and like everything he was bringing to it was just like so intense. I like feel like I hadn't quite seen him in like such a like, I don't know, dominant, like on top kind of like really angry energy, which I loved. And also they were like, he was just wearing like jeans, basically.
I love when they're just wearing jeans.
Shirtless.
They both
he looked
were
so
wearing
good.
Jeans.
It was crazy.
I love when men wrestle in. Because you know it's also got to be a little stretchy too. So like they're like.
Roll it back and explain that one to me a little more, please. What is a little, like the jeans, like it's hot that they're stretchy jeans.
Oh, are we going to start getting cross-examined by the things that we're into?
I just want to understand that that's your kink, I guess.
I like jeans that can move.
What? I think this podcast is going really good this week.
You know, the beautiful thing about friendship is you can know someone for so long and still always be kind of learning stuff about them that makes you think, I don't know what I learned. I don't know what I learned just now.
Jeans, the hottest kind, the stretchy kind.
Okay. Oh my God.
Well, Leah had to get a Kleenex out because she laughed so hard she's crying. Yeah. So,
well, she's thinking about the stretchy jeans and weeping.
Emotionally.
If they'd had those, Leonardo would have put those on the... Did he do the Sistine? No, it's Michelangelo. I know that. Michelangelo did the Sistine Chapel.
Right? I was still picturing the Sistine Chapel, though, when you said that, even though I know that. But I think it's because of on Arrested Development when they put the Never Nude cutoffs on Adam.
Holy shit. That's, you know what? We're going to take that one back to the we'll come back to you with that. Let's talk about, okay, so this was interesting. So Adam Cole really mad. He was really mad during the match. And at one point he did say to Hangman, so the AEW recap wrote it this way. They said, he said, "You will never beat me. You will never beat Kenny Omega." We all think he must have said, "You will never be me. You will never beat Kenny Omega."
It doesn't make sense otherwise, because in fact he did beat Adam Cole and he beat Kenny Omega. Yeah. Well, so no worries. Yeah.
I think it kind of works both ways, because even if he did say beat, the meaning would be like, it's not about winning a match. It's like the broader like thing of like, you will never, it would still mean
your career will never
be me.
Yeah. Right. You'll never have a better career than us, kind of like beat in a larger sense, not in a win the match sense. Yeah. I think it was B though. Like
B is so much better.
So much better.
B is horny.
Yeah, they should have been saying that kind of stuff in the promos this whole time, because him saying "you'll never be me, you'll never be Kenny Omega," and bringing Kenny into it too. I was like, oh, I'm wide awake.
Right. And it's also just like a good line for Adam Cole to say, because it's like, you will never be Kenny Omega, and like I feel like everybody listening to it immediately was like, and neither will you.
Yeah. Which it's like, Adam Cole, you already have an inferiority complex about actually, which actually is perfect bullying behavior, that it's just like man hands on misery to man, and Adam Cole is like, I have a hole inside me that's that I want to be as big a deal as Kenny Omega and I'm not, therefore I turn around and I tell somebody else like the same, you know what I mean? It's like it all adds up
and it feels like perfect little rat Adam Cole behavior, you know, where he's like gonna say like the meanest thing he can think of that kind of doesn't sound that mean, you know, like just
no, it was great. And then so the other thing that was going on in this match, or that like the plot thing that happened, so Hangman did, he did drink some beer in the crowd because he had taken someone's beer and poured it. I don't know, I wasn't following that closely, but
He poured it straight in his mouth. It was very erotic to me.
I was like kind of stroking out through a lot of this match.
Hangman looked so good. I mean, he always looks good, but he just looked extra.
Oh, he looked great.
Know.
Yeah. And honestly, Adam Cole looked great too. Like, of course he looked like a greasy rat because of his hair situation, but it was just like, you guys, like, if you want to do kissing goes again, you should feel free to do it.
If you want a full on kiss, I'm okay with it. You know, I'd permit it.
I would allow it for sure. For some reason, that part where they were both sitting in the chairs and like slapping each other's chests while they were sitting down, like sent me out of my mind, where I was just like, this is insane. And like, therefore I like can't like, you know, .exe shutting down situation. I was just like, this is really doing it for me. Anyway, but at one point in the towards the end of the match, Hangman took his belt off, tied Adam Cole to the ropes, got a chair with barbed wire on it, and was gonna hit Adam Cole with it, and then had a moment of like sexy indecision where so many people refuse to do this for me, and I'm like, it's the right thing to do if you're a good guy and someone gives you a tool for heels to have the moment of being like, is that who I am? Like, is that what I have to do to win this match? And he decided he didn't. He unbuckled Adam Cole, who immediately did like rat shit and shoved him in the groin or something, I don't know, but anyway. And then he did end up winning the match. He won. And then afterwards on Instagram, he posted a picture of that moment with these Orville Peck lyrics, which he loves to post Orville Peck lyrics, and he said, "Been finding it hard to be kind since I've been lost out there, losing my mind."
Well, that's some amazing good stuff. Oh, some MySpace AOL instant messenger away message stuff.
I mean,
love it.
That love man it. Is doing it right.
He knows what he's doing out there, crafting, doing character work and crafting a little narrative. Yeah. And it's so shocking to me that so often faces do just like do a little heel cheating with a heel ring or brass knuckles or whatever, and it's like not a thing. And it's like, it should always be like this, where it's like, mm-hmm. yeah, I'm not a guy who ties him to the ropes and then hits him with the barbed wire chair. I untie him and then I wrap barbed wire around his head in a crown of thorns pose on Good Friday. That's
yeah. yeah, of
the
course. And that's
discourse
fun.
About whether that was disrespectful was so funny to me, because I was like, oh, who is this for? Who is this
Please.
For?
I know.
Right. It's like, who are you defending right now? I need you to think about like whether there is a group that really needs this defense. And I would say potentially no. In America? I'd say potentially no. Maybe anywhere, but especially here. Yeah. I mean, you know, it just hit. And it's like, you know, it's great with Hangman because it's like, we'll talk about this again in a little minute, but it's like, because he's done long-term storylines that worked right, you're like, great. So I can't wait to see us come back to this again and yeah. again. This question right. of like whether in the moment where like it feels like everything depends on it and you are having this problem where you're like, the belt means maybe too much to me, whether you can resist the urge to do the bad thing. And you know it's the bad thing. Like right. that is, that's sexy. That's good. That's narrative, baby.
Right. Yeah. And because Hangman has earned so much credit, like you're excited for it, whereas like mm-hmm. Cody sort of tried to do the exact same storyline with a stupid
oh
belt,
yeah
but then he just yeah. never followed up, and he was just like, yeah, and then I ended up using the belt for evil anyway,
and it was fine, like, and it actually was fine.
Yeah. I know my beloved Hangman would never do that to me.
No. Hangman pays attention to all the little things he puts out there, and they pay off. And right. yeah, it's
and
worthwhile.
Yeah, it's about like consistent morality, basically. Like if you are worried that using the tools of evil will make you evil, then they should. Right. I mean, right. or at least like you should, if you use it, like you should be in danger. You should be in real danger.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it was great. And they really like, I mean, it had been a little bit of a lackluster. We talked so much about the lack of specificity stuff, but like this match really took this whole feud like up such a notch. And I feel like while Kenny's gone too, like bringing in sort of the ghost of Kenny Omega is like such a great thing to do, like mm-hmm.
you know, anytime they remind me that Kenny exists, I actually have like a screaming crying breakdown now, and I'm like, I need Kenny. I need him. I when Kenny comes back, I will lose my mind,
seriously.
And he's gonna come back to a fucking shit show, and he's gonna cause more shit show.
Well, that's I saw a post going around that was just like, I need Kenny to Omega to come back and make the situation so much worse.
Absolutely. it's gonna be Troy Pizza GIF, except he doesn't come in with pizza, he comes in with a flamethrower.
Yeah, exactly.
Double fire.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. Great. Okay, so Adam Cole, will get back to him in a second, but he does kind of seem to be finally in retreat, so I don't think we're going to be seeing any more of this feud imminently. We did get a little setup where CM Punk fought Dustin Rhodes on Dynamite in a match that meant nothing to me, but seemed very meaningful to both men. I've almost never seen more Tinder post-match clutching from anyone on these programs. Like, I was like, wow, you guys really do
really
love each other, I guess.
Cradling each other's faces, Dustin Rhodes and CM Punk. Like, cool, yeah.
It seemed to mean a lot to them. Good for them. And then Punk won, and on his way backstage, Hangman's music hit. Hangman came out like with the belt, and he and Punk just had like a brief stare down about it, which I honestly thought was a little weird. But what did you guys think?
Yeah, I could see like what you were thinking about it being weird. I think it hit okay for me because Hangman that Friday before had been so like aggressive and angry and like forward, so it felt like he was kind of in a place where he was being a little more like, yeah, come at me, kind of as like an attitude. So that did kind of worked okay for me for that reason, especially since Punk has been saying like he wants to come for the world title belt, and I guess Hangman watches the show, you know, so
yeah,
right.
I think it's just always going to be a harder sell for me when the person who has the belt comes out to be like, are you going to fight me for the belt? Like, it's not, I think in general, maybe is like not the beat that I love, and just feels like a little mechanical to me where I'm like, oh, okay, well you have to have a promo. So he came out like, but it was fine. And I mean, do you guys have expectations for the feud? Is there stuff that you want to see, stuff you don't? Are you interested?
I'm like so interested to see where it's going to go. Cause I feel like there's two like, main forks. It's like, is Hangman going to keep going down this path of like, I like, this is corrupting me? Or is Punk going to do to Hangman what he did to Eddie, where it's like he starts picking like apart, picking him apart? I don't know. Like, I feel like either way could be really good, but like they both can't be baby faces. So somebody's going to have to be like the darker one. So I don't know.
Well, when you put the two of them together, like Punk's going to be darker unless they work really hard not to. Cause like, I don't know, almost anybody coming up against Hangman, I'm like, leave him alone. That's my beautiful boy.
You know, it's interesting because I think they're both in like a, they're both in or potentially entering like a pretty fun middle ground of like, I want to do the right thing, but it turns out that like the right thing is hard to do. And I have dark forces roiling inside me that I'm worried I cannot control. That's sexy to me. I know that maybe Tony disagrees, but I'm like, you don't have to turn either guy like heel if that is their vibe. And it's like two people like lashing out at each other while trying to be like, I'm holding it together, I'm going to keep being the good guy. There's a lot of potential there.
Yeah, with Hangman like drinking the beer in the audience and stuff, and with his history of alcohol abuse, and then with CM Punk being a real, you know, holier than thou straight edge guy, like you could get into some stuff there for sure.
You definitely could. And they could, I mean, they could really both be in the wrong in a lot of conversations, right? I think, like, especially like if CM Punk leans on any kind of like holier than thou thing about like that kind of thing, it would just be like, oh, well, that's troubling. That's bad. That's bad behavior.
So. Yeah. And I think CM Punk can come off as like kind of like smug and condescending pretty easily if he's not careful. Like with Eddie, he really did. So it'll be interesting to see like the vibes for sure.
It does crack me up that Eddie's still calling Punk judgmental. Like every interview he gives and Punk comes up and he's like, he's a judgmental asshole.
He really hurt his feelings.
He really did. Yeah. You really get the sense that like Eddie is just like still licking his wounds. And so I'm like, I do want that to happen to Hangman.
Except it's like, I think Eddie would handle it better than Hangman. Eddie handled it, even if he's bringing it up a lot, like Hangman's not going to handle it that good. Because for Hangman, I think like a thing that they should be doing in a lot of these feuds, and they did kind of do in the Adam Cole feud, and this is probably the match where it came through clearest, kind of, is like this thing where like Hangman is like, the thing you are saying to me is also the thing that I am saying to me, and it fucking hurts to hear it out loud, because it means that the voice in my head that I say that I'm trying to tell myself isn't true is true.
And that's whereas sex. Eddie's just gonna punch you in the face, but Hangman's gonna crumple a little bit. Very sexy. I mean both of them are so good on the mic and stuff too. I do think has the potential to be very electrifying between the two of them. So
At the end of the day, it's like, what do I really want? I want the Star Trek episode of wrestling where Hangman fights Mirrorverse Hangman.
Oh man.
When will I get to see that, Tony Khan?
Miro will finally assault the gates of heaven and find Mirrorverse Hangman up there and bring him back from the spiritual world.
Miro.
I
really hope that, well, I mean, he's signed for a lot more years, so I assume he's gonna come back at some point.
He's just off running around to soccer games and whatever. Yeah, having a good time in Bulgaria and
It's like, I want to go to Europe for a while, TK. And TK said, no problem. Really quickly, do you think that CM Punk could take the title of Hangman or no?
I sort of think that I think he could, but I think Hangman's going to have the belt a very long time. Like, don't you think he's going to keep it, like, to All Out? You know what I mean? Like,
I hope he does.
I hope he does for sure.
If he does, like, I feel like all of these early feuds are, like, I don't know, just sort of stuff. There's got to be somebody who's going to come in.
He definitely like could take it, but I do feel like CM Punk's been hanging out in the mid card so much, it would feel a little weird if he did take it from him. And also, like, Hangman shouldn't lose it before Kenny comes back, right? Kenny should be there.
I don't know.
Not that Kenny should take it off him, but like, he should witness it.
He should be in the mix. Maybe that's right. I think I haven't formulated my thoughts about that. Leah, did you have something else that you wanted to say about who's going to take the belt off Hangman?
No, just that, like, I think a lot of these early feuds, like I would have guessed that Adam Cole could take the belt, but not this soon. And I could see CM Punk taking it, but not now. So, I mean, who knows? Maybe, like, there'll be a second iteration of the feud, but, like, it's got to be somebody that they're going to be building towards over the summer. Even just paging through the list of personnel, I can't really think about who it's going
to
be.
Yeah, sorry. I was just going to say, if it comes back around to Adam Cole, I think it would. I think there would have to be, and I think there will be, some developments in the world of the Super Elite that, like, the dark forces are circling and strengthening towards the season finale, and that's totally possible. I don't know if that'll be what happens. Well,
I would give it to Keith Lee.
You'd give it to Keith. Yeah. I don't know. I don't feel ready to say that yet.
I would give it to. I think he would look good.
I think he'd look good with a belt. I would not say that they have done the amount of character work that I would like to see yet that would make me say, yes, give Keith Lee the championship belt.
I could see Bryan Danielson eventually.
I would kill myself.
Yeah, you're in for a dark time then, because I think he's going to get something eventually. Wow. Gosh. Well, you heard it here first. Okay. Well,
I'd be so kind to you, Leah.
It went while you killed yourself. Oh, my God. Okay. Let us just. So, speaking of the Super Elite, TK had said that there was going to be a big announcement on Dynamite. So, he showed
TK
up.
TK loves a big announcement. He loves to announce that he's going to be announcing something.
Likes when he gets to make his voice really big. But this one, he actually got interrupted by Adam Cole, who was like, it's actually my job to do the big announcement. This is my big announcement. And the announcement was that AEW and NJPW are doing a joint pay-per-view in June. And after Adam Cole announced this, Jay White also had a cameo where he came out and just said some stuff about, like, I'm Jay White and I am a big deal. That is very cool for you, you little freak. Big freak, I guess. And then he said, it's not about New Japan. It's not about AEW. This is about the Undisputed Elite and Bullet Club, because it's still our era. And I unfortunately thought, I don't know what's going on. I thought, wow, I should have been following some stuff in other companies that I have not checked in on recently, so I don't really know what this means.
Yeah, I'm not up on what's going on with the Bullet Club at all, even though,
like, I don't know,
in Impact they were doing Bullet Club stuff, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, so when Jay White showed up the first time and we got all that homework, I did, like, read a lot about what they were doing then, but, like, I'm not exactly sure, like, what that means for, like, a crossover, but I'm interested.
Yeah. I'm totally, I don't want to sound like I'm mad about it. This is on me, where I'm just like, oh, unfortunately, this one has strained my little brain. And I'm like, and I really want to understand it. Like, it's not one where I'm going to be like, yeah, sure, I don't care about that. So I'm like, I'm going to do some Googling. I'm gonna Google about it, I guess, just to figure out what all the implications are. But we'll move on to one of the things that's going on is that the Bucks were back this week after their defeat at the hands of FTR, and then they refused to be on camera for being the Elite this week, which was infuriating, but, I mean, pretty, like, erotic from a character perspective. Well, different takes, but but they were back this week. They did a promo with Red Dragon and Adam Cole. They were in their morning clothes. They were dressed
their
all
widow's
in black.
Blacks. Yeah.
You love to see it.
The commitment of, like, wearing, like, the black shoes too is just so funny. Like it's nobody so does drama like them.
No.
They are the biggest theater kids in the world.
It was so over the top. And not only did they dress in it, which was very obvious, but then they had Kylo come in and be like, guys, why are you, like, not wearing your fun clothes?
I know. And actually, everyone was in black. Red Dragon and Adam Cole were in black, but that was pretty normal for them. So it was an interesting effect. But yes, Kyle was trying to bait Matt, and Matt was so cranky and kind of hiding under the brim of his black cap and refusing to be baited. It's great. It's like, sometimes you imagine the Young Bucks planning these segments and, like, someone being like, do you think that's maybe, like, a little far? And Matt Jackson is like, it's barely far enough.
How much money would you pay for a list of ideas that Matt Jackson had that people
were like, it's too
let
far
him do?
Yeah. So much money. Oh my God. I would love to know, because yeah. Or like, I would love to know, not the things that like other people were like, it's too far. And he was like, it's not worth dealing with that. Okay, we won't do it. But the stuff that Nick Jackson was just like, not, no. Not that one is not, that one's a no go from me. anyway, so they cut this promo. The Young Bucks were upset. Adam Cole was basically like, we're all fucking losers. We've all lost. So he kind of like did a thing where he was like, it's all of us. But then he turned it on the Young Bucks and was like, you guys have no friend. You have no other friends. All your other friends have abandoned you, but I won't abandon you. We have to get it together. And like, I'll be here for you. And therefore, like, we have to have a match. This is the most insane match. When I missed it in the moment, because I was just kind of staring at Matt Jackson's face. And then when you told me who was going to be in the match, I was like, this actually makes no sense. But it is. They're going to fight the Varsity Blondes, Dante Martin, Lee Johnson, and Brock Anderson next week.
It is very funny that they're like, yeah, we're going to prove that we're still at the top by beating up a bunch of little boys.
Which is, that's, I guess that's kind of like Big Bully Adam Cole's vibe for sure. Leah, would you like to speak on this?
I would just, listen, I don't know why Darius came back and then he's not being shown to me. What is happening here?
Oh yeah,
between this week and this week when they for the Bullet Club thing, and then now next week, why would you show me Darius Martin if I never get to see him again, and I only have to see stupid Brock Anderson?
Oh, I agree.
The fact that Brock Anderson is in everything is just so insulting to me as a viewer. It's not respectful from Tony.
Of course, it troubles me greatly. Leah, I didn't mean like that. Maybe you wanted to speak on the Young Bucks.
what if we had not said about the Young Bucks at this point?
I don't know. I don't know. I just meant about the response to the promo.
I don't know. It was very good. Like, so it finished and then immediately went to a commercial, and Sarah went up to go to the bathroom, and by the time she came down, I'd already found it on Twitter and was just rewatching it because I was just really happy. It's really smart. Like, somebody else linked me to a video of like after Wrestle Kingdom when Kenny and the Young Bucks lost their matches and Adam Cole won his match, and it's like on a BTE, and like Adam Cole is trying to cheer the three of them up and is doing like the poisonous snake thing, yeah, as he like tries to be so kind to them. And it's basically the voice I do to Anne when I'm like, I would be so kind to you about the Butcher and the Blade.
And I'm just, if like, you lost Adam a Cole's match to a pathetic man, I would be so kind to you.
I would be so kind to you.
It is so funny because like Adam Cole being like, yeah, you guys have no friends, but don't worry, I'd never like betray, yeah, you, is just like the meanest thing you can say to anyone, pretty much. Like, yeah, the least comforting thing.
Yeah, which is like everyone in the Elite is always being like, I would never do that, and it's like, it's the first thing you would do.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, you're actually allergic to not doing that thing. Yeah, I mean, it's like, I think it's just interesting that, you know, it's like, as per usual, they're all doing very, it's a very rich text. There's a lot of like very rich like character like, mm-hmm, subplot arc stuff.
They just seem like a lot more willing than other factions are to do like a minute and a half of just like interpersonal, yeah, dynamics for me, and like, no, everyone else refuses. But,
and the thing is that when you do that, like, Leah, you just said that you were like, this is like a slow drip storyline, like, which is like all their storylines, and it's like, yeah, you can get away with it when you're always giving a little, like when it's dripping, when the faucet is dripping, yeah, then I believe, yeah, that eventually like there'll be a payoff. Like, you can't, right, get away with it, and lots of people cannot, when you're like, it's a storyline that's taking a long time and I never develop it, and then one day there's just going to be a big development. Cool, I don't give a shit. I hate that.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly. Right, right. If Dante Martin right now reawakened his storyline, we'd be pissed about it.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
but Matt Jackson says, don't worry, I'm working on it.
You just reminding me of that storyline made me mad all over. I was like, oh my God, I almost forgot Dante's horrible storyline.
Absolutely insane. Yeah, I think I was going to say something else, but we can simply move on. Okay, this is where I do not cover myself in Spanish glory. I didn't watch Battle of the Belts. I didn't get around to it.
Wow, you didn't?
Okay. Allie, you didn't watch it?
Wow. Siri, wow, delete it, like, my co-host.
So you're like, kind of not a wrestling fan.
I'm kind of not. Yeah,
it was
I'm
on Saturday. Not. Like, it's yeah. been a few days.
Yeah, I guess I actually am never going to watch it. So. Which, in fairness, Battle of the Belts got burned by multiple sources online for being it was not important. So,
actually, can I read like a sentence Please. From that recap? Because it was so fucking funny. So I, of course, was looking up a recap for a show that I actually did watch and had no memories of. And this guy, I don't even remember what the website was that I found it, but like brutally burned the shit in the most polite way of the show. It was like, this felt like a contractually obligated hour of television that did feature one title change, so at least there was a takeaway, but it's well below the standard of the usual AEW big show on television. And then with so much professional wrestling programming at your disposal, if a promotion is asking you for an additional hour of your time, it has to be meaningful. Yeah, buddy. Yes. Yeah.
The truest thing anyone's ever said, and I feel like Tony Khan is constantly asking for more hours of my time and not mm-hmm. making it
he
worthwhile.
He wants yeah. every hour of our time, and I give him a lot of them, but I was, like, this week, I think I, for some reason, have the TNT app on my phone. I have no memory of installing it, but it sent me, like, a little push update to be like, it's Battle of the Belts. Like, tune in, babe. And it was like, I'm driving to Seder. You know why? Because I have to have a life outside wrestling. I'm trying to be able to live in the normie world still and not become like a total like freak. I'm so sorry. I mean, we're here. Of course we are freaks, but like I need to be able to pass still. So I have to get like my reps in, Tony. I can't stay home and watch wrestling every night of the week.
That's how we lose the ability to not be giant mouth breathers.
Coming more of a mouth breather every week.
The breath, that you can just hear them. You can hear them getting raspier and wetter. I am so sorry. Oh. We absolutely must move on. Oh, okay. So you guys are going to describe some matches to me. So go ahead.
Please.
So Thunder Rosa defended against Nyla, which they have done. They did do a build for. It's not like it was completely out of nowhere, but I would not say it was the most complex of builds. It was back to that thing that Sarah Shockey said of like, all right, sometimes the girls' matches are just, oh, I'm mad at you. Big mad.
Yeah.
Right. Girls are mean. They don't like other girls sometimes.
Yeah. Which I will say in fairness is like a problem that the men have too, where they set up matches that way. But there are so many more men's matches that it doesn't matter as much. I mean, it's like we still complain about it, but it's like you get lots of meat along with the filler that you're like, that's not a good feud. But with the women, it's almost always like, this is not a good feud.
Yeah. Right.
And for our one match a week, it kind of has to be a good feud. Yeah.
Right. But that said, I think the match itself was pretty good. I think like both of them are really good wrestlers. They did the thing where like Nyla got to be like Goliath for like three quarters and was just, she was just like Thunder Rosa was being the twink. And Nyla Rose was just throwing her around.
I like that you're like, she's not a twink, but she was playing one on TV.
Someone like, has to be the twink in a match, obviously.
What we're always saying is, who's the twink and who's the Goliath? David, the OG twink.
As everybody says.
I think that may have been the, am I misremembering? That may have been the thesis of the short-lived TV show Kings, was that David was the original twink.
No, definitely it was. Yeah. Jonathan's also a twink in that one, but yeah.
Twink for twink.
Twink for twink, yep.
Okay. Well, we wandered. Okay, yeah, well, we I think they need to fix that, but I'm glad it's a good match. I'll never see
it. Good match.
So.
Never see
I don't know. Maybe I will. Okay.
Sure. I will say the only interesting thing is that Nyla's got really, she's got new hair, and it's good hair. Like, it's like
good.
Purple dreadlocks.
Yeah.
And, like, it was very the cool. Three men almost got themselves, commentary almost got themselves a little bit of trouble.
Oh, no.
Because they were trying to express that Nyla kept accidentally getting them in her face. But, like, they just kept being like, those locks are everywhere.
Okay. Nice. Be very careful.
Yeah, I could just hear it in Excalibur's voice where he was like, we could move on and I would feel a lot safer.
Oh, my God. It's funny on commentary. And I think it's very similar when you're doing a podcast. So I really understand it. Where you're like, I've really talked myself into a situation. And it is so difficult to navigate out of it, even though I actually need it to be finished right this second. I actually
But the nice thing about the three of us is that, like, in a trust fall, I do trust you guys to catch me, that if you see me faltering or, like, heading somewhere bad, you guys would just be like, stop. Well, and also, we could talk about this. But I feel like Excalibur is like, I don't have that.
Oh, no, he doesn't.
Excalibur's like, oh, JR's going to throw me.
Nobody's going to catch me.
No. Yeah. It's that Tony hasn't noticed there's a problem, and JR is actively mm-hmm. pulling Excalibur into his grave. It's just like, he's got me by the leg. Jim's got me by the leg.
Yeah. Excalibur's like, just to be clear, this, I'm not a part of this.
And why do you keep talking, buddy? Okay, and then this is the big news. So hit us, Anne.
Yeah, so the big news was the belt transfer, which is that Sammy won again, which is so stupid. So anyway, he was wrestling Scorpio Sky for the TNT Championship, and he was accompanied by his beautiful girlfriend, Ty, and Scorpio was accompanied by his beautiful girlfriend, Ethan. The only real interesting thing in the middle of the match was there was a point where Ethan and Ty Conti, like, faced off, which was very like, oh, look, the girlfriends are fighting. So it was fun. Of course, they didn't actually touch. They just yelled at each other. And sure. Then later, Dan Lambert and Ty were facing off. And then Dan Lambert had to summon Paige Van Zandt to come punch Ty. Because obviously, men can't punch girls. But they can summon other girls to punch God. The girls. Which is very normal and fine, obviously. Yeah, so there were like various interferences and stuff. And then when Paige Van Zandt and Ty Conti, they were fighting like on the ramp, which was distracting. And at that moment, Scorpio like poked Sammy in the eye. And then Bryce, the ref, got distracted looking at the women fighting. And then Sammy hit Scorpio in the nuts and then pinned him.
So, got him right in the nuts.
The low blow, as the commentary said.
The yambag region.
Yeah, they actually refrained from saying yambag, but I guess Taz wasn't on commentary.
I think they should all adopt. Excalibur should have to say the yambag region, like, know, contractually once per episode.
We're all counting on you. So it was like a vaguely heelish action from Sammy, even though I didn't feel like this was like a real heel maneuver. It was kind of splitting the difference though, because commentary was like he was just fighting fire with fire because Scorpio had like poked him in the eye ahead of that. So it was a little bit ambiguous. But Sammy was getting like a lot of boos, I would say, during this match. Were some like dueling chants, but there were a lot of boos.
Yeah. There was the dueling chant of "Let's go, Sammy," and "Sammy sucks," and the "Sammy sucks" was pretty loud.
It was winning, yeah, I would say. Yeah. And then he and Ty celebrated his win with a really disgusting tongue kiss, I would say, just right on national television.
Who pointed out that they fully like have just like completely stolen Penelope and Kip Sabian's
someone in our group chat.
Yeah. Someone in our group chat. True. And I was like, I had been like thinking about it, because I was like, yeah, heels are horny. Like that's how I put it together. And then I was like, you're right. Actually, they did just take the whole gimmick, like fully wholesale.
Right. Except at least like Kip and Penelope, neither of them got engaged to someone else 3 months before this whole gimmick on national television. So,
yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to be a gossip monger, but it is like, it's really weird, because Sammy and Ty did a Dynamite promo this week that was like, okay, this is a heel promo on purpose. You're
for sure
being heels. Definitely.
Friday on Rampage, it was like a little ambiguous whether they were trying to be heels. It seemed like they were maybe trying to open the door, but not go all the way there. But then by Wednesday, they were like, oh yeah, the boos were intense. And they like,
which
pulled
is,
it out.
It is very interesting that like they did do the turn. They're not trying to do the Cody thing where they're like, no, we can figure this out. They're like, no, we are readjusting.
Yeah.
They're like, we're going to dress you in clearly disturbing outfits.
The second, the second I saw that coat with like the furry collar, I was like, that is a heel coat, my friend.
Like, we've made the turn, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
It is very funny. It's like, I wonder if anyone has put together a full list of the things that it's like, they're the visual and verbal cues that you see and hear that you're just like, heel turn, heel turn, heel turn.
Right.
And some of them are like more like obvious that it would be that than others, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but so they did their heel promo, and Sammy was doing a thing where he was just like, why are you all booing me? Like, is it because like my girlfriend is hotter than yours? Like, well, sorry for like having everything, including the championship, with the love of my life. Like, where I was just like, well, buddy, it is like pretty crazy that like, I don't know his life. I don't know his deal. I don't know how his relationship ended. But it's like, you had a real life, like, wackadoo interpersonal drama that played out partly on stage because you brought it on stage, because you proposed to your ex-girlfriend on stage.
No one made you.
No one made you. And now you're having a heel turn centered around the new relationship that came out of the interpersonal drama. But there's like, I don't know what, I can't put this together, but I was just thinking where I was like, oh yeah, it would be like a pretty good heel move to like lean all the way in and be like, yeah, I left my girlfriend of 6 years / fiance for like someone else at my wrestling company. And then I was like, but you can't do that because it is Chex Notes, your life. So that, you know, have like fun with that, I guess.
Ex-fiance is a real person, so you can't really do it. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting to me that it didn't seem like they seem to think that they could have like a public cute relationship and still be baby faces. But it's like, yeah, like you're the real life situation you had set up here. And like on social media, like it was even worse. But like, it's like basically you proposed to your ex-girlfriend. Like 3 months later, you just show up like Frenching Ty on camera. And it's like, even if everything was like above board, you broke up, whatever, which like for all I know it was, it's like, it's really fast for like a fiance relationship to immediately get with someone else who also was married pretty recently. Yeah. So,
I think it's just one of those things where it's like the interplay between like kayfabe and reality is like weirder than ever in this situation. And I'm quite interested in like, how did you think this all was going to go? Like, did you think that you were going to be a face like based on this? Or like, it wouldn't totally surprise me if we found out that it's like, yeah, we were doing it on purpose. We were doing some heel stuff on purpose. Like, it doesn't seem necessarily right, but I would like, you know, it's like one of those things where it's like, okay, yeah, either way that I heard it, I would be like, well, maybe.
It's interesting they didn't think they needed to like address it on TV, because like a lot of people were like, no, Sammy and Ty aren't together because like he's engaged to someone else. I watched it on television because like they just don't pay attention to their social media, which is very legit. So it's like interesting they didn't. I don't know.
Which you can't. That's what I'm saying, though, is it's like you can't be like, yes, you're right, I did it. Propose to somebody else on this program. And now I am like in a real life relationship with this person. It's like, you can't. It's just his, it's his own little.
It's crazy.
Like, he needs to stop bringing his that he like, you know, like built around himself.
It is. I know. Well, it's like, that's why you shouldn't propose to people on a real life wrestling show, because then you get yourself in these situations. Like, it's like, I don't want to be talking about Sammy's real personal life. It feels intrusive. He's brought it to me over and over.
That cat put that mouse on my doorstep. Yeah. No, I agree. It's like, there's just some weird stuff going on, and now but the real problem is that we do have to watch Sammy quite a bit, and I hate that.
I know, it's terrible. I mean, they're like good heels because I super hate them, but it's not heels that it's enjoyable to watch heels. It's Dan Lambert style heels, and that's unpleasant.
And it's like not fun heel stuff, because it's just like, I just feel the exact same way that I always have about it. I finally read a horribly written piece on Bleacher Report this week that also said what we've always been saying, which is basically just like, Sammy doesn't do character work, and this is the first time it's like really kind of starting to bite him in the ass. And I was like, great, well, I'm glad that like the internet wrestling community knows that. Like, I'm glad that they that there are people out there that understand that no matter how impressive his flips are, like, he has never put the time into doing character stuff, and that sucks.
And I almost feel like his flips are so good that he's been coasting and not having to do the rest of the work of being a wrestling superstar.
Absolutely correct. But now he's going to have a ladder match with Scorpio Sky for the rematch, and then also there's going to be.
I hope Scorpio just wins the title right back.
Please, like,
let's just keep this as dumb as possible.
I know. I guess it's like, now that we're in, if we're in it, let's just be in it.
Right. It's like,
oh my god. Sure. Well, let's talk about a storyline that we do actually like. So we also had developments in the MJF Wardlow storyline this week. Wardlow showed up to Dynamite, was greeted at the door by security waiting to handcuff him and escort him to his dressing room / the closet he was going to get to change into a singlet in. And then later we had like MJF and Shawn Spears like cut a setup promo. They were like on a balcony. There was a lot of popcorn on Dynamite this week for some reason, which I was like, I don't know what's going on there, but where they were just like, we can't wait to watch the Butcher slaughter Wardlow the Greedy Piggy. And Wardlow got brought out in his singlet that, as always, he's busting out of. Like, it's actually, like, pretty obscene.
He just... Yeah, the, like, thin little...
Straps just going over his nippies. Anyway, yeah. But he came out.
He was looking so good coming out. He looked like a proud little gladiator, defiant. Yeah. And MJF looked like the sniveling little spoiled emperor up on the balcony.
Yeah,
for
it
sure.
was great.
I was very into it.
And he was still handcuffed, so he got walked in handcuffs to the ring. And then, whatever, we had a whole match. He did beat the Butcher, which we knew he would. He powerbombed the Butcher. Do any of you know? We don't know, right?
What the Butcher's little,
I know, yeah. But I just the
butcher, you describe it, Allie.
Well, it's just that the Butcher was like saw Max Caster doing scissors and was just like, that's nasty, I guess I'll do that too. So he does scissor, but then he like points them under his chin, and I don't understand it. Like, it's like, it looks nasty. Like, I'm just like, this is obscene and filthy. But I don't know if I should know what it means, because I don't know what it's implying, no. Except like, I'm really scary, and I'm like, it is scary. That's correct.
Well, I don't think we've seen him do it before the last couple of weeks.
I don't think
Shirley
would have noticed.
I feel like I mean,
would've. Would you have noticed? It's the Butcher.
I don't know, but it's like so obscene. I don't think he was doing that with the blade, was he? Like,
I couldn't tell you.
We don't know.
So I feel like I would have noticed, but obviously that.
If you know what this means, or if you're like, it's so fucked up that you don't, just let us know, I guess. Just tell us and we'll take it well.
You can make fun of us if you would like to.
Yeah, definitely can. Feel free. Bury us.
Yeah. Explain to us what obscene gestures mean, if they're obscene or not.
but I mean, this storyline just continues to work. I mean,
it's working really well. Yeah. I was kind of thinking like, it's just interesting because they're like really stringing it out. And I think MJF in some ways has a little bit of Jericho's like bloating tendency. Like, I was just thinking, oh, like the five labors of Jericho like went on for too long. And this could be, but it's being executed so well. It's not dragging at all.
Yeah. But don't you think that it is meaningful when we think about the MJF storylines that were really bloated? They literally were with Jericho.
Yeah. So it's not irrelevant. Like, well, I think, you know, when you're planning something out with someone, obviously Jericho's like, yeah, that's great. Let's do that. Let's do the same thing every week. For 10 weeks in a row.
Yeah. Yes. And it's like, you don't know who's coming up with the ideas or whatever. Like, if MJF doing a storyline with Punk, I'm like, it's great because it's a great it was a great storyline, and I think will continue to play out like in the far future. But it's also like, I think you probably learned much better like narrative stuff from Punk than you would ever have learned from Jericho.
Oh, yeah.
And I definitely can see you carrying that into like the storylines that you're doing now. So it seems like pretty meaningful to me that like MJF was the best part of a storyline that went on for way too long with Jericho.
Yeah. Right.
For sure. I think just the like, oh, Wardlow, I'm gonna like make you fight a bunch of people over and over kind of reminded me of the five labors thing. But
there's,
I mean,
progression every single time.
There is progression,
like,
yeah.
There's progression. I think it's actually pretty impressive that like we were at a point when Wardlow had his title challenge where we were like, we can't really imagine like what is going to happen after this if he doesn't win the challenge. And it's like just a normal storyline that's great to watch because it is well-written TV.
Yeah. I mean, MJF does deserve a lot of credit for consistently being able to do storylines that actually have nothing to do with belts. Like, he's one of the few people. That's true. Doesn't need them.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's very true. And it, I mean, he's like 25. It's crazy. Yeah. He knows, he's a theater boy. He knows how to tell a story. Yeah.
But I think that is like, I think that's something that actually every wrestler should be thinking about, even if the storyline is about the belt. It's like the belt is nothing, actually. Like, even if you want the belt, different people want the belt for a different reason. You have a different psychological impulse, like that, like who you want to impress, like, or who you're trying to like rub their face in your success. Like, there is a specific like reason that you are driven by the belt. Like, all storylines should have like something like that, that we understand, like, this is the thing that makes you tick. And I do think it's really impressive that like MJF is good at being like, yeah, that's actually just the first thing. The belt is totally secondary. But even in belt storylines, like, the belt actually shouldn't be the thing. The belt is just a belt. Yeah.
And when they do make it the only thing, it's like, it's a boring storyline. It doesn't work so well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Honestly, nothing sucks more than storylines where it's just like, you have the belt, I want the belt. No, I want the belt. I don't give a shit. I can buy a belt. I could buy as many belts as I want.
Yeah, you could be like Taz. You could just make up your own belt and buy it and then give it to whoever you want. Like,
you know what? Taz is the realest totally one of all for that. He said, I've so been known this, fantastic. Actually. Okay. Do you guys want to, can we talk about Andrade Darby instead of Blackpool yeah. Combat Club? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Blackpool Combat Club kind of did the same. It was good, but kind of the same thing. Andrade and Darby had their coffin match. Andrade finally lost to Darby, so because we've gotten quite a few matches in this feud. It was a little bit of like, there was a kind of weirdly a lot going on, Leah, as you pointed mm-hmm. out, for a singles match.
There was like a point where I was watching Sting and Marquand go on for so long, and I just turned to Sarah and I was like, this is such a stupid bitch question, but, and she was like, yeah, and I was like, is this a singles match? She was like, yeah. And I was like, and it's Andrade and Darby? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, why have I not seen them in 5 minutes?
No, you know what? That's, it's like, obviously, I would ask that too, but it's like, it's not a stupid bitch question because it's a mm-hmm. real question about the way it's that like, the match was set up.
Then why is Mark Quinn there?
For so long.
Yeah, so I guess.
Well, it was kind of, it's kind of like the equivalent of like what Darby was wearing in this match, where I noticed at a certain point, I was like, he's wearing so many layers. Like, he's wearing like 10 articles of clothing.
He's like an onion.
Usually if people get attacked before the belt, they're like, I gotta get that jacket off. And he's like, no, the jacket's staying on and it's over a mesh shirt and I'm wearing tights with shorts over them.
I actually thought, I had no notes on the outfit. I thought it was perfect. I guess my note was, it's perfect. I loved it. Yeah, especially the mesh shirt. Like when Darby gets that mesh shirt on and then he's just like laid out, like gasping for breath in his mesh shirt. I'm just like, yeah, there's almost nothing better than that on TV on any channel that you can visit. But yeah, it was like, I guess it's like he got out there and then Mark Quinn and the Blade immediately showed up to attack him. And then Sting was hiding in a Sting mask and then he attacked Blade Classic. And Mark Quinn, and he jumped because he's been infected by Jeff Hardy and he's like, I love jumping now and that's dangerous and maybe we should talk to our pathetic boy Jeff about that. And
Jeff's like, you're in your 60s but it's fine, just find something high to jump off of and everything will be fine.
I like that you made that sound like a safety measure, like it's actually fine if you find something high to jump
off. Just find something high,
as long as it's high you can jump. But I will say the parts that Darby and Andrade were in were great. Like I loved it, and like watching them wrestle to me is electric. So that is part of the reason that it's just like, just let them wrestle. Like they know what the fuck they're doing, and like look right. at their bodies together. They were made to wrestle each other.
All right. Well, that was a really normal way to put it, and I have absolutely no words.
I don't think it was a problem. Nothing I've said has been a problem. I don't think. I'm fine pretty sure.
No, I just wanted to point out how normal.
Yeah,
it was.
I've been like, fine.
It was just really. It was normal right. and regular.
Yeah, it was kind of how we started the podcast, and now we're just booking.
Yeah.
It
well, you know,
the podcast,
and you know why it was these bodies so normal together? Is because I refused to watch 3 days of wrestling a week, and I went to Seder, and so that's how I maintain the ability right. to say normal things like that. Actually,
you saw some normies at a religious event and you were like, yeah, I'm ready to go talk about some bodies and how they look together.
Oh, but I think of some of the things that I said at that event, you know, maybe I was learning the wrong lessons, but I loved the match. Oh,
it was so funny.
I loved parts of it.
You love parts of it. Yeah. The whole thing is funny. The coffin matches are just funny. I think it was the way they phrased it at the beginning, but when they were telling the rules, they were like, and one of these men has to stuff the other in a coffin and shut the lid to win. That's the only way to win. And I was like, wrestling is so normal, actually. It's just really cool and regular.
I think it is just funny to me that Darby's like, it's like Darby's aesthetic. So he's like, I'll always have a coffin match. That's not a problem. I'll always do that. And I'm like, I somehow didn't expect that. I was like, I already saw a coffin match and you're just allowed to do just another coffin match. And no one is like, that's weird.
I'm surprised Darby isn't doing matches where the only way to win is to stuff your opponent into a car and light it on fire.
Well, that could be next. We haven't had any setup for another Darby feud, have we? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
We don't know what's coming for him.
Yeah, could be anything.
Yeah. And then at the end, Sting came out and took care of Darby. So that's a father lover. You know what? Because he came out for his boy.
Yeah, he loves his boy.
He loves his boy. And is that a good note for us to end on? We love our boys. I love, if I could go out and rescue Kyle O'Reilly after one of his horrific losses based on his horrible personality, I would do it every time because that's my boy.
Oh, I love your boy. You'd go tenderly take him out of the
ring. I would take him out of the ring. Got... I would say, you're that's awful. Nice. You're just, that's nice. You're just horrible. Listen. From top to bottom, baby.
And I'm sure that me and Anne feel that way about Jeff Hardy and the Butcher.
I've always said that about you too.
I'm probably going to start getting really into the Butcher just out of revenge.
I think you will, yeah. Especially when we find out what that means. That might
yeah, be yeah, when someone that's tells us.
I feel like, yeah, that's gonna be the page turner for you. That is going to be the moment where you're like, wow.
I really hope someone emails us and tells us what his scissor throat thing.
Maybe it means like to. I'm experiencing emotional distress or like, you know, something that's just like, wow, that's actually really interesting.
Gives him some depth. I could really get into that. Yeah.
I've never been loved the way I could be.
I've never experienced love. I've never experienced a kind touch. That's what I mean. I've never experienced a kind touch. Desperately. Okay, great. Well, anyway, on that note, I've been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
And this is Tunnel Talk. Our show is produced by Marjorie Voinovich. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter at Tunnel Talk Pod and via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. Those are both places where you can tell us what disgusting thing we don't know about that we want to know. We want to know. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, and come back next week.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.